This is CliffCentral.com.
It's Friday. It's 7 o'clock. That's French Montana with Unforgettable featuring Swae Lee. Is that also a relative of yours, like Sofia Vergara?
I don't know. There's so many of these. I'll sound 100 years old saying this, but there's so many of these young artists who, like, I just can't keep up anymore. I don't know who Swae Lee is. I just discovered the other day there's a rapper by the name of Lil Yachty.
Yeah.
Take that in for a second. Lil, because it's not little.
Yeah.
And Yacht with a Y. Yachty. I'm not.
Lil Yachty.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's too much.
All right. Someone says here, where is yesterday's part three? Are you going to learn? Well, yesterday's part three was a repeat of Mark Banks from a long time ago. So we're not going to put part three because it's essentially something you might have already been able to find on cliffcentral.com. So what you'll see is that we are increasingly going to do the 2 hours of live shows, and then there will occasionally be repeats or else new fresh material when the fresh material's around for those interviews. Good morning, Gareth and team. Love you guys. Burning off some unwanted fat at gym and listening to Cliff Central at the gym before I go home to learn for my board exams.
Ooh, good luck.
Damn.
Good luck.
Virishan says, I am studying to be a CA.
Sure.
Almost done. Peace and love. Keep it going, guys. Peace and love.
I think you deserve like
a round of applause. Yeah, peace and love to you too and all the money you're about to start making.
Like, A, you're up in the morning. B, you're determined and you actually go to gym. C, you're studying.
Yeah, good luck to you. I mean, it takes... That's some serious dedication. I like it.
Are you single?
Keswa says, we're live. At Mabale Moloi. Can I taste your juice?
Oh.
No.
You don't get hijacked when leaving Cape Town International, says someone. That's why it's the best airport in South Africa.
Ooh,
shots fired. Ooh.
Pow, pow.
All right. And then someone sent a picture of a pizza on a pineapple.
No, man.
Yes.
A pineapple? What?
Cabello says, this is a pizza on a pineapple. So there's a pineapple, and then inside they've got the melted cheese and
so
stuff.
So they hollowed out the actual...
Yeah, right.
Too tangy.
All right, let's get into some news, shall we? This is the stuff that that you're going to be in conversation about with people at the office or at lunch or at drinks after lunch or whatever today. So Mabale Moloi can fill you in so you sound super smart and you can make everybody else think that you're a genius.
All right, let's begin with the Jason, and I really hope I'm
Jason
pronouncing Derulo. Pronouncing their surname right. Is it Rodda? R-O- H-D-E.
Yeah, Rhoda. Yeah.
Rhoda, okay. We'll begin with that story because a forensic pathologist, Dr. Akmal Kutsia Khan, was testifying in the Western Cape.
What a name.
In the West.
Akmal Kutsia Khan?
Yes.
I love South Africa.
Was testifying in the Western Cape High Court yesterday. If you need just a little bit of a reminder, Jason Rhoda is the former Sotheby's CEO. He is accused of killing his wife at the Spear Wine Estate in July last year. Mm. Now, he insists, Jason, that yes, he was cheating on his wife, but that the wife strangled herself with an electrical cord in the bathroom after a heated argument between the two of them. So that's just a little refresher course of who we're talking about here. Ben is already shaking his head. Ben?
What's your theory, Ben?
Strangle yourself? We instinctively want to stay living. When you strangle yourself, it's the hardest thing because you need strength past ability. As in, when you strangle someone, you've got to strangle them past consciousness.
Yeah.
You don't strangle them, they go, oh, that was sore, I'm going to go out in a few seconds. You've got to really, look, I mean, it's making me sound psycho, I know. But you can't just strangle yourself. You have to have force beyond your abilities.
Okay. I sort of understand what you mean. Mm. In other words, you will stop strangling yourself when you pass out.
Exactly.
Which means you won't die.
Should be fine, yeah.
Oh.
Yes, actually, now that you mention it, yes. Now, Dr. Akmal Kutsia Khan has testified and said that, yes, Susan was strangled to death, but that her suicide was staged. He testified that he called the police's crime scene unit to the scene after noticing red stains on the floor, the bed, the pillow, and the floor mat. There was also fecal stains in front of the bathroom door. He told the court he believed that the bedroom was the scene of the crime and not the bathroom, as authorities were initially led to believe. He added that bruising and abrasions to Susan's face and ligature marks to her neck were not consistent with someone who had committed suicide by hanging.
Right.
There also wasn't a friction rub from an electrical cord, as you would expect in such a case.
So in other words, he killed her. That's what they're saying.
Yes, Gareth. What the doctor is saying is that it wasn't a suicide, as Jason had told authorities when they found his wife's body in the bathroom.
Right.
Right, indeed.
Well, I think Ben's got a good point. You should really be, Ben should be like a CSI dude.
He really should. Ben, you're good.
He figured out the Henry von Bredar thing long before anyone else.
Yeah.
He figured out the Hope Zinder thing long before anyone else. He figured out this one.
Not so much the Tupac thing. That's the only thing
Figured it out. You just don't give me credit for it.
There we go.
There's a big difference.
Maybe if he gets all of these other ones right, maybe we should start to pay attention to that Tupac one.
Will Smith killed Tupac.
He ain't getting jiggy with it. Had any business becoming a hit.
No, you don't know. Nada.
Well, you just need darker glasses and you need orange hair and you're a full way for the whole Horatio look.
Can I just say that the saddest thing in this story is the kids of this guy. Not only did their mother die, but now, of both of them. Yes. Uh-huh. But now they're having to go through the trauma of your father was the one who did it. Can you imagine?
Oh, that's a good point. Oh, I didn't even think about that. I was having so much fun with Will Smith and Tupac. I totally forgot what that... Oh, that must be horrible. Those poor children.
I mean, I don't know how old they are, but I guess that doesn't really matter. Like, okay, you could be 40 or 15. Like, it would still suck as all hell. But yes, imagine your father is being accused of being the one who killed your mother. It's just unfathomable.
And even if he comes off, you know, innocent, the truth of the matter is where there's smoke, there's fire for me. So if it was my dad, best believe I will not be inviting you for Christmas dinner because I think you're shady.
Sure, this will definitely have put a strain of some sort on the relationship between this father and his children.
So weird.
Okay, now these water outages that everyone in Cape Town seems to be worried about to pre-selected suburbs by the city of Cape Town could lead to some serious damage, at least according to one electrical and electronic engineer, specifically for those people who are using solar water geysers.
Yes, I heard about this.
What did you hear, Ben?
Well, these are potential explosions waiting to happen.
Exactly.
Oh?
So the city on Monday announced that phase one of its critical water shortages disaster plan will come into effect, or rather came into effect already. Which means that water outages during peak water usage periods in the mornings and the evenings are going to happen. Now, Professor Tienus Boysen from Stellenbosch University's Electrical and Electronic Engineering Department says that solar water geysers are dependent on cold water to regulate the temperatures. If water in the panel becomes too hot or the pressure becomes too high, the safety valve opens, which replaces hot water with cold water. And yes, Ben, this could lead to some of these geysers exploding.
Oh, my God.
First of all, I didn't even know that solar water geysers are a thing.
Well, a lot of those sort of RDP houses, it's a very sort of progressive way of going about things. So it's sustainable.
It's sustainable.
It's a really good move. But then Jesus with the rain over there.
Lack of rain over there.
Exactly.
The professor added that in the event of a water outage, which is exactly what will be happening in Cape Town, no cold water will replace the hot water in the geyser, which could lead to overheating and then will result in like temperatures going beyond 100 degrees Celsius and the solar system possibly stalling, which in turn could lead to the explosions. So
that's horrible. Mm. So, in other words, millions more in damage.
It sounds like it.
And possibly people getting hurt. So, that man-child minister of police of ours, Fikile Mbalula, did this thing where his cops arrested a bunch of people who were transporting a coffin.
Okay.
They arrested them, made them lie down in the road for hours while they waited for Fikile to come and pose for PR pictures.
Oh, no.
So they cable tied this bunch of guys who it turns out were totally innocent. They were all released without charges the next day. But there's a picture, and the whole reason they did this was so that Fikile could have a picture and show that he was fighting crime. So Here's what happened. The police in the Western Cape detained 8 men and later another 2 near the Huguenot Tunnel. They made them lie in the road with cable ties tying their hands together, send out a press release and pictures about their protracted investigation. They said multiple units and intelligent operatives had pounced on a vehicle and arrested suspects whom they suggested were linked to weekend shootings in Marikana and Cape Town, in which 11 people were killed. Mbalula arrived at the scene to make his own roadside interrogations. He later posted pictures of the men on Twitter and boasted about their criminal midnight shakeup to his 1 million Twitter followers. But the Times has established through interviews with 6 of the suspects, all of whom have been released without charge, that they were all members of a family just transporting a coffin containing a dead relative to the funeral in the Eastern Cape.
But that's a lawsuit, right?
Should be.
So that's more taxpayers' money that's going to be thrown back out.
Well, I...
But they'll probably just, yeah, shut these guys up.
This is all... They were made to lie on the ground for 3 hours while the police waited for Mbalula to arrive so they could take pictures.
Mm.
Now the men are vowing to sue the police for wrongful arrest and humiliation. All this time, they say, while we were lying down, cuffed, our families also upset the coffin was opened and searched. Zukisa Abantu told the Times this week. The men were detained in Cape Town Central Police Station at Freed on Sunday night. Despite this, and the earlier police statement announcing that the arrest charges were being withdrawn on Saturday, Mbalula tweeted a picture of the men to his army of social media followers on Monday. They say Mbalula's tweets have put their lives in danger. The statements that the minister has been making on social media did not help the situation. He tweeted our pictures and said our testicles must be crushed.
Yes, and
said Zukile Skat.
And I think he said it in Xhosa, ne? That whole their testicles must be crushed thing.
I haven't seen the tweet, but I'll... I am kind of conflicted with this one.
How?
Okay, if these people were guilty, they came off guilty.
They're not guilty or innocent. They haven't even been charged.
Okay. I don't think this might be a very unpopular opinion, but I don't think this is the worst thing in the world that he's done. And I'm not against the photo op.
All right, so...
I kind of want to see the person...
These guys did nothing wrong.
Okay? Yeah.
So imagine a bunch of police thugs coming to your apartment this Saturday night. You've got 2 or 3 friends there. They bust into your apartment for no good reason.
Yeah.
Arrest you and 3 of your friends. Make you lie down on the ground for 3 hours while they wait for man-child bitch to arrive.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take pictures of you. And then you're released the next day with no charges. In other words, you did nothing wrong. They can't find any reason to keep you in police custody. Charges have been dropped, if there were any. And basically, there's no evidence to show you'd done anything wrong. Now, you think that that's good in some way?
Okay. The actual way they went about it, that's a problem. But actually, seeing him on social media these days, going about, fine, of course, because he loves the attention.
Sia, are your standards so low for us to fight crime that we even want innocent people treated like this?
No. The act itself, I can say, is wrong.
I see what you're getting at. You want to publicize the fact that criminals are being followed up on.
That's it. I don't have a problem with him publicizing it and going about making himself seem like this hero.
I get that, yeah. But it's just inefficiency on every single level, and it's all about his ego. So what his primary job is to make sure this police service can be the best it possibly can be. Yeah. Waiting so he can get a selfie? That's not policing. That's just him being a man-child bitch.
I think my gauge or my reference is I'd far rather see him in Soweto somewhere than him ringside with Floyd Mayweather. It's sad that we need to have
like
such a reference.
I'd rather see Harvey Weinstein jacking off in a cinema than being with a young girl.
I have to ask you, how low are your expectations of this man?
Right now, they're very low.
Okay, so then, in other words, I mean, we should rather just give up on him completely, because if we're going to celebrate the fact that he did this to innocent people, remember, they're taking a dead relative to the Eastern Cape.
Mm.
These people can't have been in the greatest of moods, and then they have to be put through this humiliation. They have to be put into prison for the night. Then they're released the next day. They've done nothing wrong. Then this guy, he still, after they've been released, puts out the pictures.
Yeah.
You know what the purpose of that was. He makes it clear. If it was about fighting crime, he would have immediately deleted the pictures because he doesn't have criminals.
That's not at all about that. For him.
So it's about him.
Mm.
He wants to be seen to be doing things. Well, you're not. You're not doing a damn thing. And if anyone in law enforcement in this country thinks that anything matters until our president is charged by Sean Abrams, they're fooling themselves.
Well, I just hope these guys get a good lawyer and get a ton of cash.
They will. They'll probably get some kind of a settlement. They say the police undressed these guys in front of women for them to determine that I was not the twin they thought that they were looking for. Apparently, the twin is uncircumcised, and I am. That devastated me, the one guy said. I mean, can you imagine the humiliation?
Your dignity is now gone. Yeah.
I mean, this is just awful. And if police thugs can do this to these guys, don't think they won't do it to you. Yes, sis. Lawlessness. By the way, a lot of people commenting on the Jason Roeder story saying, did he give Grace Mugabe lessons in electrical cords? Very tasteless jokes, but there they are.
Well, you know.
It took people all of a couple of minutes.
I know. People are so insensitive. Hey, guys and mubs. I was smoking the good stuff in my grandma's backyard when one of her neighbors asked me if I had a rope that he could borrow. Being high as a kite, I wasn't thinking. This dude tried to kill himself a few years back. Well, he used my rope and hanged himself. Moral of the story is, you can't strangle yourself, but you can borrow a rope and hang yourself. That's from Vinny.
Okay. Sure, Vinny, that's
tactic. And Vinny doesn't seem to care.
I know. Ooh, that's tough. No, but you can't hold yourself guilty for that.
And then, look, I get very nervous around police going beyond the bounds of what the law allows them to do with ordinary citizens. They are there to serve us and protect us. They're not there to hurt us and to arrest us and humiliate us for no good reason. Roman says, Sia really believes doxing innocent people whose rights have been infringed is fine? Really? The suspects, in inverted commas, are now seen as criminals by the community and their lives could be in danger.
No, that's not what Sia believes. We've clarified this. You don't agree with the fact that innocent men were handled in this manner. You were just talking about PR and photo opportunities.
See, I was talking about, you know, just showcasing that crime has no place and it will be clamped down on.
Yeah.
Because that's what that little bitch boy's plan is. But he's just going about it all wrong because it's about him.
Yeah, he's going about it the wrong way. Because, I mean, let's face it, photo ops and strategic PR, that's all part of politicians and what they do. Like, everywhere, that's what they do. He's just going about it the absolute wrong way.
I mean, the mere fact that, you know, Trump gets vilified for using the word bitch publicly. But here we are. We have an official minister who says what? Crushed him by the testicles.
Yeah.
And that's just like the
But it's like, again, it goes back to human rights. We all have agreed to these things. You can't take pictures of saying these criminals where they haven't gone through a justice system. You can't be that stupid by accident. You just can't.
No, you have to do it on purpose.
You must be so driven by...
driven by
I can't comprehend this people who are in charge of things in this
country. It was fine when he was Minister of Sport because the worst thing he could do was like ruin a sports team.
Like call Bafana losers.
Or just like overspend on trying to get Floyd or Beyonce to perform in South Africa.
Any stupidity was mitigated by the fact that there shouldn't ever be a Minister of Sport in the first place. So it was like... let's let him in the playroom while the other adults are in the main room. And then he became Minister of Police. And now the stakes are high. This guy could really screw stuff up.
I haven't really noticed. Does he wear a uniform?
No, he was wearing a suit. No, he's not allowed to wear a uniform.
That was one of my guesses when he got into the position. I thought
he'll try.
He will definitely have a sparkly uniform. Tons of badges.
Don't worry. It'll come.
A parade. Yeah. That's what I was waiting for.
It'll come.
His friends probably call him General. It's like they make him call him a General while he feeds them Johnny Blue from our tax money.
All right. So I mentioned this earlier. Harvey Weinstein has now checked himself into rehab for sex addiction. This is at a center in Arizona. Remember how we were talking earlier this week about the fact that he had fled the United States? Well, apparently there's been a bit of confusion about that. The Hollywood producer was said to leave the country for Switzerland earlier this week in order to receive this treatment for sex addiction. But there's been a last-minute change of plan, and he will now be treated in Arizona. So it sounds like he's been in the U.S. this whole time. The 65-year-old producer will check into Meadows Rehab Center, very highly respected, also very popular with the celebrities. Details of the program aren't known, but Meadows does have a plan called The Gentle Path. It's a 45-day inpatient rehab for those with sex addiction issues.
Must they call it something creepy?
That's it.
Patients have therapy. They go through arts therapy, meditation, yoga, and counseling for 45 days.
Sounds wonderful.
Well, it's just the whipping. Why don't they just be getting whipped straight? Do yoga and check out some other woman's ass. Come on.
Different rules for different people, Ben.
Please. Imagine Harvey doing yoga. Ugh.
Oh, and then he takes.
Could you bring my stretch pants, please?
And then he insists on taking his clothes off to do naked yoga.
Yeah, stand at the back of the class.
Hey, do you remember Seth MacFarlane made a joke at the Oscars about Harvey Weinstein like a couple of years ago?
No, I don't remember.
Listen to this, 2013.
Since you five ladies no longer have to pretend to be attracted to Harvey Weinstein. Congratulations, you five ladies no longer have to pretend.
That was during the supporting actress category.
Ooh.
And he made that quip, and he says that he did make the joke, and he knew what Harvey Weinstein was like, and he said he did it on purpose.
All right, so I mean, it was clearly like a well-known thing.
Yeah.
What you're dealing with when working with Harvey Weinstein as a young woman in Hollywood.
But you know what another thing is, as much as all these young women are speaking out, now all, like, there are guys who are coming out as well.
Ooh.
So Terry Crews, the actor, big black
guy. Yeah, he's the big dude from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, right?
Says that he was once at a Hollywood party and this big shot Hollywood producer comes up to him, grabbed him inappropriately, and, you know, he knew that he couldn't react while at that party, because if the news got out, it would be like, oh, this big buff guy tackles and slams and hits, you know, this producer. The actor Rob Schneider, he now said,
who would touch Rob Schneider?
Wait, who's Rob Schneider?
Everyone's got their kinks.
If I have to be honest, I also thought about that. Rob Schneider, he's been in the Grown Ups, American Gigolo.
Oh, that
yes.
guy.
He says that he was once inappropriately touched by a gross director, but like,
Rob Schneider, he should count his lucky stars anyone touched him.
Harvey is actually off the hook here because the gross director in inverted commas has since died. But listen to this. Rob says, I was once in a hotel room. I didn't think it was going to be a weird situation because it was a famous director. And next thing you know, he comes out in a bathrobe. The bathrobe is a common theme.
Wow.
Evidently. And sits in a chair asking me to crawl on the ground and then crawl up towards him.
Can you imagine this WhatsApp group with all these guys and they're saying, oh, you never guess what I had Rob Schneider do to me today.
Weird.
What is going on?
But, so weird.
But James Van Der Beek, Dawson.
From, Dawson's Creek?
He tweeted yesterday saying, I've had my ass grabbed by older, powerful men.
Oh, please.
And I've had them corner me in inappropriate sexual conversations when I was much younger.
James Van Der Beek?
When he was much younger, yeah. You see.
Well, you mean when you were relevant.
Well, they were interfering with him then, Gareth, back when he was still in Dawson's Creek. That's why he was crying so much in that show, because all these men in the background going, all right, Dawson, after this scene, come back to my trailer.
Someone cracked a really funny joke online this week about how, you know, Jimmy Kimmel keeps crying on his show about gun control and about Trump's policies about Medicaid and all that kind of stuff. They said that the real reason that Jimmy Kimmel keeps crying is because he was raped by Harvey Weinstein. I'm sorry. That was funny.
But
and then someone else came up and said, no, that wasn't rape. It was consensual. You got to be able to distinguish humor from truth, though. I mean,
reminding you guys about the pedophilia ring, which they've obviously shut under the carpet here.
You are convinced of this.
They need to expose that.
I reckon these pedophiles have outed Harvey in a sting just to get the fire off them. Because even Elijah Wood and all those other child star people, they started speaking out, and then suddenly they're like, shit, guys, they're onto us. Let's throw Harvey under the bus. He's always been a creep with women. Because all these power circles, they work like this. And they have these secret meetings where they eat steak and smoke cigars and stuff.
Ooh, and wear shiny suits.
Yeah. And if you can expose one power circle, you will shift the attention off of your creepy circle.
Exactly.
But I kind of feel annoyed at how quickly we all forget and how in 2 weeks Harvey will be off the hook.
No. It's like Bill Cosby. No one forgot about Bill Cosby.
Okay, but what about O.J. Simpson? He's out. He's now living in a Las Vegas mansion.
But how long is O.J. in prison for?
Yeah.
No one's forgotten about it, but there was a TV show about it.
So. OJ went through the criminal justice system. He went through the process and then a parole board
and that
ruled.
And whole TV show?
A parole board ruled, all right, you get to go home, go home.
But like, I just discovered this this week sometime. A photo was taken of OJ in a hotel room and he was signing some sports memorabilia.
But now looky here.
That's where all trouble started.
Exactly. And like now we've moved on. Tiger Woods now has a new girlfriend and you know.
No, no, but hang on.
Tiger Woods didn't break the law. Tiger Woods just had sex with a lot of women.
I know, but we're so forgiving and we're so forgetful as society. Harvey will be living in an Italian villa in 3 weeks' time.
No.
And we'll be on to the next one.
Because sex crimes, people have a very different view of.
Yeah, see that key word there? Crimes. Mm. People are investigating him for criminal proceedings, yes, yeah. This isn't just like, oh, well, I played in a golf tournament and there are these three girls in my hotel room.
And Ben knows that happens all the time in golf tournaments.
All the time in golf tournaments. Even the guys that haven't won majors, they're also getting girls.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Trucks arrive. That's how people get married in this day and age.
Sex is a big motivator for humans. It's very odd.
No, but seriously, there are golf tournaments where people are, they're famous for meeting wives or second wives while they've got first wives.
Yes, because becoming a wag has also become an actual career and a profession. Exactly.
It's an aspiration.
It's a big thing.
Sure. And these guys, that's why they're so selective in the tournaments that they play. And people go, oh, these guys, they only play 20 tournaments a year. Yeah, because they want to stay faithful to their wives. If they play 35, they'll probably end up with an STD. Back off these guys. Leave Rory McIlroy alone.
Yeah.
Leave Rory McIlroy alone.
If he wants to play 17 events and spend more time with his wife, he's making responsible decisions. He's out there playing in Vegas and rolling the dice like Tiger used to.
All right, so I'm quite intrigued that these rehab centers exist where you can do a bit of yoga and some meditation and you can go to one or two lectures and then you're clear. You're clear. You know, you can go back into the world and you've been cured of your sex addiction. Is that possible?
It's, well, I don't know about it being possible, but it's an excellent way to make money. Can you imagine how much Harvey Weinstein is going to be charged to stay 45 days at this rehab center exclusive to the Hollywood elite? They're going to milk him.
It's like reputation laundering. That's all it is. They go in there and he sits there. He's probably watching porn and they're saying, oh, Harvey's doing this, this and that. Bullshit. He's holed himself up in his own little room.
Yeah.
And he's doing whatever he wants. But it's like the press will say, oh, you know, Harvey, for 45 days, he's shown great remorse and he's done this and he's done that. He's done this.
He's also committed to the
course. He's also given us $17 million, but you know, we can push that through the books.
Also, if any of this were to end up in a court, it's going to look good on his record that, oh, by the way, exactly, I did go in for 45 days to try and help myself.
And that's what they base, that's his only defense.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a leg or a third leg to stand on here, but he's going to have this 45 day ticket.
he's being strategic. He's, you know, he's plotting moves
of thing. Well, listen, the guy, I said this yesterday, I'll say it again. Who in the world did not want to be Harvey Weinstein 4 weeks ago? This is the most powerful man in Hollywood. He could make or break any career. You know, in terms of, let's not say to look like him or whatever, because, you know, he's not a very pleasant looking chap. But to have the world of Harvey Weinstein, everybody would have wanted that, right? You're in charge of the entertainment industry. Is there anyone who would have said no to his life?
It's immense power to have.
Right. And then, who would want to be him now? Nobody.
Well, I mean, just look at all the people who now want to be seen to be condemning his actions. I mean, there's so many people coming out in Hollywood.
So even Matt Damon came out and said,
all of them.
But did you see what happened to Ben Affleck?
Whoa.
Ben Affleck also jumped on that whole, I so can't believe this is happening. And then this woman's like, you sexually harassed me on One Tree Hill, you pervert. And everyone's like, yeah, people forgot about that. And then this woman replies to the tweet saying, I didn't.
Yep.
Like, screw you, Ben Affleck, you hypocrite.
Yep.
Ooh.
You got roasted hard for that.
So Harvey's brother has also spoken, Bob Weinstein, who they are business partners, et cetera, et cetera. And listen, he's not shy. He's calling his brother very sick, and he's also calling his brother a world-class liar.
Well, someone got a Lambo taken back last week.
He told TMZ, my brother Harvey's obviously a very sick man. I've urged him to seek immediate professional help. because he is in dire need of it. His remorse and apologies to the victims of his abuse are hollow. He said he would go away for help and has yet to do so. He has proven himself to be a world-class liar. And now, rather than seeking help, he's looking to blame others. His assertion is categorically untrue from A to Z. I pray he gets the help that he needs. Hashtag praise and thoughts. And I believe that it is him behind all of these stories to distract from his own failure to get help.
But can we also talk about Georgina Chapman, the wife, who's now announced that she's leaving him? Like, the wife always knows, right? The wives always know.
Well, exactly.
She knew.
Looking at you, Camille Cosby.
What a beautiful woman.
Yeah, she is.
I actually haven't
She knew.
She knew, yeah.
Got a couple of other questions. Do you mind?
Okay.
Number one, if Harvey Weinstein, such a powerful and public figure, was doing this, how many ordinary men in the world are behaving like this?
A lot.
Right. Because it's easy to hate on someone who's successful and well-known, right? Because we all like to see a tragedy out of a story of success, and then we want to see the person come back from the dead, basically. Mm.
Pick the pieces up.
Correct. But ordinary men, I wonder how many ordinary men in ordinary society, men that we all know, might have problems like this, where they're just predators. They're just sexual fiends. They're creeps. I wonder how many men are like that, who are preying on women like this all the time.
Good question.
That's number one. Number two is, do you think it's the power that made him behave like this? Or do you think that anyone could behave like this, even if they're not very powerful? Like, you could be powerful in your family, for example. You could be powerful in your community. We know that in South Africa, there are people, particularly in rural communities, who hold a lot more power than other people. Do they also have this complex like Harvey Weinstein did, where they think that they can have everything they want? And are they preying on women? Let's say in the cities, you know, if for accommodation, for airtime. We talk about our blesser culture.
Mm.
Isn't Harvey Weinstein just a kind of blesser without the ability to just pay? Because if he just paid hookers, no one would have had a problem with him.
Mm. It would be a business transaction.
Right. He was using his influence and power in Hollywood to prey on a particular kind of woman, a much younger woman who wanted to get into acting. Now, let's say you need to get into the corporate world in South Africa. Are there not men in businesses in South Africa who are doing this to women as well? On a much smaller scale than Harvey Weinstein, because they're not as powerful as he is. That's what worries me.
Yeah, look, the power is a big contributor. Because we were talking earlier this week about the story, or one of the stories out of America, or I think it was out of the UK, where we were comparing the difference in sentences handed down between a male teacher and a female teacher, both who had slept with their learners.
Right.
And you were talking about the fact, Gareth, that you don't like when people use and abuse a power position that they hold to try and manipulate a situation to work in their favor.
Right.
So I agree with you. Having power is a big contributor to, you know, these kinds of things.
So Harvey, let's imagine Harvey never became this powerful director or this powerful producer, right? Would he still have behaved like this with women?
He would have tried and he would have had no success, so he would have leveled off, I think. Because I think once you get... Once you have a conquest or something, you crave more and it becomes a norm in your life. When you get shut down, eventually you think, well, screw it. You know, your confidence gets shot. Harvey's confidence would always be up there to know that I can get this. This is going to happen.
Right.
I've always looked at fame or power or money as a multiplier or magnifier of what you already are or do. So call me naive, but, you know, Oprah was a good person. And when she got more money or more fame or more power, she just amplified her goodness. You know,
Bill Gates.
Yeah. Bill Gates and what he was doing when he got the means, he just expanded on that. Michael Jackson, take the molestation allegations aside.
You can't forget. You just said you can't forget.
In this context, he was a broken, bruised young adult who just longed to be a kid. So when he got the means, he built a freaking amusement park and called it a home. So in this case, I think Harvey was always seedy. And when now, I now have $5 million in the bank. I can fly 8 girls to my island, you know, or I can now rent them a house and it will be hidden, you know.
He wasn't even that adventurous. He would just invite them to the hotel.
Yeah, very low.
He was so lazy.
But I think
bring them to the hotel.
You were just always seedy, dude. And now you just got the means to do it more.
All these guys are only sad because they get caught, says somebody on WhatsApp this morning. Only reason, a few days ago, he was thinking he was untouchable. See, that's it.
Yo. First was the sneeze, not the cough. Okay?
South Park had an episode of Celebrity Men and Sex Addiction. Ben might remember the episode.
At this rate, we must just look at South Park and The Simpsons to tell our future.
Yeah. Really? Tell you what, those two shows have got everything.
I want the creators of The Simpsons in the White House, actually.
All right, what else, Mavs?
All right, so Facebook Incorporated has begun overhauling how it handles political ads on its platform. And it may put some changes in place before U.S. elections next year. U.S. congressional and state elections are set for November 2018. And Facebook and other social media companies are basically under pressure to up their game and halt the kind of election meddling that the United States has accused Russia of. So according to their chief technology officer, he says that they are working on all of this stuff actively now. And there is a big focus in the company to improve all of this on a regular basis. Now, last month, Mark Zuckerberg said that the company would begin treating political ads differently from other ads, including making it possible for anyone to see political ads no matter whom they target. U.S. lawmakers had also begun calling for regulations. And this affects platforms across the board. Disclosures by Facebook, Twitter, and Alphabet Inc.'s Google that their products were battlegrounds for Russian election meddling last year have turned into a crisis for Silicon Valley. So now everybody is kind of being expected to up their game and to do better.
Well, you must look up a company called Cambridge Analytica that apparently Trump used during the last election. And they have a means of figuring out your personality. Listen to this. If you like 50 things on Facebook, just 50 things that you like on Facebook, they will be able to deduce 95% more than your closest friends about your personality. If you do 300 likes, they will be able to figure out more about you than anyone who knows you.
That is frightening.
That is how good these guys are at taking an analysis of a person from their social media behavior and being able to plot your personality profile, your political profile, and everything else about you. Cambridge Analytica. You need to see what these guys are up to.
And then obviously they use all of that analytics to start targeting you in specific ways, depending on what they want from you, right?
Correct. And that's how you, if you want to get votes, if you want to run a political campaign, it's not about any of the stuff we thought it was. It's just putting out the right messages according to what these analytics give you. And you will appeal to the biggest possible crowd.
So it's about voters being manipulated.
Correct. Told you democracy was stupid, but it's the most... I suppose it's the most acceptable kind of stupid for a government.
Yeah. For now.
For now. Ugh. Look at all the countries that are suffering under supposedly democratic regimes that don't know what they're doing.
You want to know which city in SA is the fattest?
Yes, what's the fattest city in South Africa, Ben? Well, let's do that. Wait. This requires a big a trumpet, a bugle, what do you call it, clarion call. Let's go. Ben, here it is. Fattest city in South Africa is?
It's a fat tie between Port Elizabeth and Bloemfontein.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
I've been in Bloem. I can vouch for that one.
Well, look, according to Discovery, who do a whole bunch of things around not being fat. That's what vitality is in Latin. Don't be fat. 48.8%. Only 48.8% have a healthy weight status. Cape Town is the healthiest place because the airport's so stupid, the 53.5%. Johannesburg comes in at 52. Mm-hmm. And Durban, 51.8. So if you're in Bloem, you're battling to get out of bed because you're rocking from side to side, you go back to sleep.
Right.
You're one of these people.
And PE. I never would have guessed PE. Well. Hmm. Yeah.
fat cities.
Yeah, Bloom. Yeah.
But what makes it worse is that this isn't.
So did you say Cape Town's the best?
Yeah, healthiest place, because they got to walk around to get those Instagram photos. But the problem with obesity,
wow,
is not because it's like you're going to be, you know, just fat, but the strain on the state money wise, 700 billion rand per year in related fat issues.
You know, we are the second or third most obese country in the world.
Have we moved up?
Mm. Yeah. Who's? Or we've moved sideways.
I think the first is still America.
But that's crazy.
Are we the second? Please,
the
no.
Economic impact of obesity. So it's not a harm. It's not a faceless crime or anything like that. It's terrible. 700 billion rand.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, that's more than the Guptas made this last month. 700 billion.
Mm. Yeah, what do you think this is about?
Well,
low self-esteem?
It's about what we're putting into our bodies. Just yesterday, we were talking about how global obesity among children has increased tenfold since the 70s.
Well, what's the sporting participation looking like? I reckon there's a direct graph between the two.
Okay, here's the list. The fattest country is actually Palau, which is like an island in the South Pacific. But they've got 47% obesity of the whole population. That's almost half of the people in that country. And then there are a bunch of other islands. Apparently Qatar is quite fat, 41%.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the United States is the first major country that's fat. 35% of their population is obese. And South Africa's in there somewhere. We're about, according to this list, about 13th. But then this might not be the definitive list.
Yeah, a lot of these lists are quite dated.
Saudi Arabia, very fat country. UAE, very fat country. Fiji. Kuwait. Tonga. Trinidad and Tobago. Libya. Well, New Zealand.
Those South Sea islands, genetically, they're meant to run around and murder everything. But now they sit and drink beer. So those genetics just basically, they've stagnated.
Turned to obesity.
Yeah.
But there we go, huh?
Yeah, it's definitely about what we're putting in our bodies.
I think we're the fattest country in Africa. That's for sure.
That is without a doubt. Mm. I'm pretty sure.
And we're about after the United States, we're about second to third, according to another list. So there we go. Now we've got a problem. We've got to figure this out. We've got a problem. Shame. Shame.
Shame on us.
Shame. Shame. All right. What else is in the news?
A man has spent the last 10 years living in the woods to...
Oh, I love these people.
...to escape his wife.
It's a Friday. How many years?
A gardener ran away from home and lived in woodland to escape his wife's controlling behavior. His name is Malcolm Applegate.
Oh, Malcolm.
He's now 62 years old. He left his home and slept rough in the woods next to a community center for the elderly where he worked as a gardener. He says he was left with no choice but to do a runner because his wife's behavior got more and more unreasonable after he had his working hours increased.
Can you imagine how awful that woman must be for him to have run and hid in the woods?
For 10 years.
Have you never heard of divorce, Malcolm?
Now sure. Malcolm has moved into a shelter for the homeless, which helps to rebuild people's lives in South...
Oh my God, that's crazy!
...in South London. He said that before becoming a companion, he was a gardener in an area for about 25 happy years. He said, I loved the job and I still love tending to gardens now. It wasn't until I got married that my life became increasingly unsettled. The more work I took on, the angrier my wife got. She didn't like me being out of the house for long periods of time and the controlling behavior started to get out of hand. She demanded that he cut his hours and then eventually she just decided, that's it, I'm out.
You dumb bitch.
Wow.
Divorce, Brother Malcolm. Divorce.
This woman is so terrifying. Such a terrifying harpy that he ran and hid in the woods for 10 years. Think about how frightening this girl must have been. His wife. Huh? I wonder, you meet people who are in unhappy relationships. But this is nothing. 10 years in the woods.
In the woods, Gareth. Living in a shelter in the woods. Yeah.
I love it. All right, listen to this. Is taxation theft and slavery? Is the state justified in taking away resources that appear to belong to someone effectively to redistribute these to someone else or to society as a whole? Ben, what do you think of tax?
I disagree with many parts of it, Gareth.
All right. Well, is taxation, on the other side of the coin, a better kind of social due, which goes towards contributing to society and its institutions which enable the accumulation of resources in the first place? This social due might also be seen to be contributing to a society in which most vulnerable people receive basic goods and services. That is what is discussed on Freedom Versus This Week. Tax. A must listen. The podcast is brought to you by the Friedrich Naumann Foundation for Freedom and is available on cliffcentral.com. Go and take a look. You want to know about tax?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, listen to this episode with Mark Oppenheim and Gwen Gwenya, only on cliffcentral.com. Freedom Versus. Don't miss it. It's easy to find on the main page. All right. Mavs, I got an email the other day from a guy called Roy. He's from Edenvale. He's from the Vale, which is where Amanda's from, you know. And while in school in the 60s, he loved the Beatles. I mean, who didn't? I wasn't in school in the 60s, but I love the Beatles. He bought a guitar from his sister for R1. It had only one string. So, I mean, you can only play a certain number of things with just the one string. He taught himself how to play the guitar. He started writing songs. He didn't professionally pursue singing. He went to London after school, and he has recorded himself privately with a Sony tape recorder, which he still has to this day. Let's make some noise. Let's welcome to the studio Roy Mayef, who's in the golden seat, the throne, this morning to talk a little bit about music, and he's popped by. Did you bring your guitar here? Is it here with you? Okay, cool. Let's say hello properly. How are you, Roy?
I'm very well, very nervous.
Is all of that true, that you played a guitar with one string?
I used to strum at it until I drove my mom mad, and then she had the strings put onto the guitar, and if I was going to
play your sister, the guitar. And your sister made you buy it for R1?
I bought it for R1.
Yeah. The one with one string?
Yeah, one string.
God, yeah. She's a good salesperson.
All
right, so your love for music started then?
Yeah, it started around that area. And
how old are you now, Roy?
68.
60. This is some time to launch a music career, my friend.
I've been so nervous about it, and I've never sung in front of people before, and I think that kept me away from everybody. And basically, nobody knew about what I was doing.
And is this like your quiet little secret hobby?
And GM was my hobby, and I enjoyed the recording sessions I did, yeah.
All right, so what kinds of songs do you like to play? What's your kind of genre of music?
I don't know what you'd call it. It's more folky.
Okay.
I enjoyed Simon Garfunkel.
They were very good.
Very nice. I liked Buddy Holly was a favorite of mine, although from my time. Quite a few others, just more folk music.
Now, what do you think the world of music is like at the moment, especially for someone who's entering it at 68? It's not going to be easy.
I like the older type of music, I'll be honest with you. I don't like the new music.
Okay.
As I said, that's what I enjoy.
So you don't like Cardi B? I mean, this is the. You want to hear some? Let's have your opinion on a couple of songs.
Oh yes,
I don't know what you think of this. Tell me what you think of this song. All right.
Yeah. Sure.
Just let her get going. She needs to warm up here. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Can fuck with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes.
What do you think of that?
Good.
Good.
It's good, but it's not my type of music.
Otherwise.
Not my type of music.
Okay. Good, you say.
It's good. I like it.
All right.
It's not my kind of music.
Very good. How about this one? Are you ready?
Yep.
This your kind of thing?
Not my kind of thing.
No, okay. I'm very cold. Maybe this one?
Some instrumental action.
See if it gets better. How do we like this?
I like it.
Okay, you like this. All right. All right, so let me hear some of your stuff. Grab that guitar of yours. Let's just mess around.
Okay.
We got a couple of minutes. Let's play. Here's Roy. He's in the studio with us, and he's going to play. He's from Edenvale. He's decided at 68 to start getting into this seriously.
Will we have enough time to talk about Katy Perry's writing prowess?
No.
Damn it.
Because that won't take any time at all. Yeah, we can. We can fit that in. All right, so you've got your guitar here. It's not one string. It's got all the six.
It's got all six.
Okay, and what is this song that you're going to play? Is this an original?
It's original. Okay. This is one of my new ones I wrote probably about 2 years ago.
All right.
Because I hadn't written for a long time. Haven't got a name for it. I've never written down the words, just remembering it.
And, well, let's just play. Let's have some fun. Don't be nervous.
I am extremely nervous.
We're not here to judge you. We just want to get an idea of what you're up to.
Okay.
Okay.
I wanna dance with the girl in the middle. She looks so good and she looks so fine. Don't know her, but we'll make her acquaintance, then we'll fall in love. Then we'll marry and we'll have six children. Build a house and we'll buy a car.
Okay.
Then we'll...
Oh, shit, I messed you up. Yeah, I'm sorry. I threw you there. Now, hang on. These lyrics, I mean, it sounds to me like you kind of want this girl, but you don't, because you said, let's get acquainted, but we won't get to know each other or something.
Gareth,
how does that work?
In the old days, we used to have socials and we used to go to these clubs and we used to see girls and we used to go and ask them to dance, and that's how we did things. We met the girls
More of a sort of arm's length thing in the beginning and then later on.
Yeah,
and the song, I mean, you want to get married and have six children. And,
yeah, just the words happen to be that way. Right. And then my son, Kazon says, my son asked me a question. He says, I want to dance with that girl in the middle. So it's life goes around in circles. So it's... Life is one big
It's got a bit of a in the beginning when you
goes
started.
Goes around and around it goes.
All right.
Starting at the beginning.
I'm not a fan of this kind of music. I'll be straight up with you. Okay. This is not my sort of thing. But in the beginning there, just start right at the beginning. Don't sing. Just play that thing at the beginning, because that sounded very Johnny Cash to me.
I was down in the prison, San Quentin.
You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Maybe if you'd made it a prison song, it would have gone a little, you know, more in the right direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's very Johnny Cash right there at the start. Who are your favorite inspirations? You mentioned Simon and Garfunkel and the Beatles, but when it comes to songwriting?
Buddy Holly.
Yes.
I think he wrote fantastically. The Beatles' music is fantastic.
Yeah, we covered that ground.
Yeah. Who are the others? Simon Garfunkel, we covered that.
Yeah.
And Crosby, Stills, Nash.
Ah.
Lovely. Okay. Lovely.
Ohio, right?
Yeah.
Good song.
Yeah. Love it.
So do you play covers?
I don't know.
You don't do any covers, so you only do original material.
My original material, yeah.
All right, give us...
These are my books here.
You've been writing in those books. Those books look 1,000 years old.
They are very old.
They look like they came out of the Library of Alexandria.
They came a long way back.
Mavs, look at those books. You've never seen such old books in your life.
And handwritten.
And
you can write music, or do you...
I can't read music.
So how do you write down the songs?
I've got the songs as words.
Yeah?
Oops, there we go.
God, your cover's coming off there. It's really old.
That's a song.
Yeah.
No chords, anything like that. And all I do is, a lot of them I don't remember.
Uh-oh.
And the ones I've done
is... What if you had a massive hit in there and you don't remember it because you can't write music down? Don't you record these things on tape?
No. Only the few that I've
sent
you.
You have no audio recordings?
Only the ones I've sent you, the ones I did myself, yeah.
You could have lost some very good stuff here.
I'm very nervous to play in front of people, and I just never did. Never told anybody about it.
I'll tell you what, we're going to break that spell if nothing else happens. We've got a couple of minutes. Give us just a little bit of another song, and we'll try one more time.
Okay.
As I said to you, not my kind of thing, but there may be people who love it.
Okay, well.
Let's go. Any other song you like.
Okay.
No six kids this time, all right?
Mm-mm. It's going to be about it goes now. That being such a fine year, the acres were full of the wheat
and the yellow grain. That's as far back as I can recall my back pages, the days when I was still at school. I never knew the meaning or should say the reason the sky turned away from the day. The moon brought its sadness, the sun brought me gladness, and yet I would gaze at the moon. I remember the days when we were so young and so free. The wind used to flow through our hair.
All right. You ever performed publicly at all?
Not at all.
Not at all. It's the first time ever.
First time ever.
Well, listen, I admire a guy who's been harboring this secret desire all his life to get out there and sing. I think, and your songs aren't horrible, man.
Thank you.
Oh.
Thank
you. Yeah. I can't lie. It's not my thing, but it's not horrible.
Yeah.
And I think that with a little bit of confidence in playing, I think you could. Why don't you start off by just performing for a bunch of people who know you and who like you? And then build up the confidence that way.
You know, Gareth, I'd like to sell the songs. I don't think I've got a voice at all.
Well, then, maybe.
So that's what I would like to do.
Maybe you should speak to those guys who are in the folk music business, because that's probably the best place to start. And maybe they want to buy your songs.
Yeah.
It's not bad stuff. Yeah. I mean, you know, that the way you play that guitar is not easy. You're not playing, that's not a sort of classical way to play a guitar. Mm-hmm. So you're self-taught.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I am.
Well, all I can say, Roy, is good luck. I'm very pleased we got to meet you this morning. Let's hope it goes well. Keep us updated with what happens, and thanks for coming in to play your songs.
Thanks so much for having
me. Sia loved them.
Thank you so much.
Mabale and I not so much, but Sia loved them.
Great. Thank you so much.
I do wish I could play the guitar though. Yeah. I mean, it's quite something to be able to buy an instrument and then just start playing and teaching yourself how to play. I like that.
It's another form of expression, right?
Yeah, no, I enjoy it.
Well, listen, Roy, all the best to you. Roy Maef, he's 68 years old. He's decided to start playing. You've got two daughters, right?
I have, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Three grandchildren. Now. Do they like your playing?
Never really heard my songs. I've played.
You've never even played for them?
Occasionally, I've just heard some of my songs. Listen. I've kept all to myself.
No, Roy, you've got to get out there. You've got nothing to be embarrassed about. Get out there and start playing for people. Come on.
I think you should take the whole Norah Jones approach. Norah Jones, she's a great musician, but she rarely performs out in public, and she never tours, but she just releases music.
Yeah, think
that
about it.
That would be good. That would be good.
You can sit in the house and you can write these songs, get someone else to sing them for you if you don't know. I don't think you have a horrible singing voice either, by the way. I've heard a lot of horrible. I've heard horrible voices.
Yeah,
I was a judge on TV. All right. Roy, thank you. And best of luck to you. And we're going to proceed with Lucy Hawking in a moment or two. She's the daughter of Stephen Hawking. She's written a whole bunch of books on science, which are for kids to read. It'll hopefully help a whole lot of kids in South Africa to start improving their science education. So we'll get to that. But first, the news, the unnews this morning. Here's what you need to know. A man has been bussed with two suitcases containing 10 million rand in cash at Cape Town International Airport. He was scheduled to make his way to United Arab Emirates before being stopped by authorities. He strongly denies any links to the Guptas, but he said that President Atul really wants the suitcases back as they were a gift from Malusi Gigaba. In other news, more and more people are coming forward with stories about Harvey Weinstein's sexual transgressions. These are legitimate cases, of course, but they're also bogus ones to indulge personal agendas. Bill Cosby, for example, said that Harvey sexually attacked him, and after that, he became a sex offender. The MTN 8 Cup final will carry on in Durban despite the horrific weather experienced in that area. The PSL is saying they now want it to rain goals and for people to flood into the Moses Mabhida Stadium, to which everyone said, too soon, PSL. All right, we'll see you on Monday. Have an excellent weekend, everybody. Be good, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Next up, Lucy Hawking. Nah, nah, don't do it. Baby,
nah, nah, don't do it. Nah, nah, don't do it. This is CliffCentral.com.